Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Trim Radio Network and my world. Live, laugh, or whatever with Stu Scheer. And welcome to this wonderful Wednesday, 7/12/2023. Come on over to the Trim Radio Network, where you can shop, you can buy merchandise that helps us stay on the air. Where, if you want to be a part of our Trim Radio Network team, all you have to do is message us. Plus, you can text us and message us right off of the home page. And we'd love to see you in our stuff. Anyway, the opinions expressed by my host, co-host, guest, myself, and others is not necessarily that of the Trim Radio Network, its owners, managers, or others. And any information shared by us is not to be considered to be used as advice. We inform, we don't advise, and that includes any and all medical health professional information as well. Always check with your medical or health medical professional. Anyway, this song right here, Leave It to Beaver, is covered under our BMI music license, 6105-1658. And we have a call-in number, 803-866-1667. And you call in, give us your opinion. Hey, we'll go toe-to-toe with you as long as you don't sit here and cuss, swear, or anything else. We like to be a good Christian type-based radio station. So welcome aboard, and without further ado, here is Stu.
Hey, Michael. Boy, I'll tell you what, it's been crazy the last few days. You know, we did Money and Change on Sunday and finished up with that. And then, of course, then Monday and Tuesday came by. We had a whole bunch of stuff to do. And my schedule suddenly got changed. And then next thing you know, it's Wednesday and so much stuff going on. And, oh, man, this weekend, or actually the rest of this week in Ohio is supposed to be wet with the capital W. And I had a friend of mine that went up to New Hampshire and to visit his kids up there. And I said, hey, I said, you want to go with us to lunch? Not remembering he was in New Hampshire. And he was like saying, well, I'm in New Hampshire. I said, well, it'll be one heck of a cover charge for us to come up and pick you up. But anyhow, it's awful wet up there where he's at. So I imagine he's staying in and staying on high ground. But the rest of this week in Ohio, starting tomorrow, is supposed to get wet. So we have to watch to get our yards mowed and trimmed and all that kind of stuff, get that done and ready for the rain to come in, because it's going to be an interesting time. Well, hey, before we get going here, we always do a disclaimer. I know Michael does his, and I have to do mine. Now, if you're watching us on Facebook, you notice there's a little bit different lighting. That's because I just got a 2-foot-long LED strip that I can have above the monitor. And it doesn't interfere with the camera and all this kind of stuff. So I've been playing with that a little bit this week, trying to figure out how to run the remote and making sure that the color and everything else is right for the camera. Well, anyhow, you know, again, with the disclaimer, nothing in this show should be considered legal, medical, financial, or investment advice. So take what we say with a big grain of salt and always do your own research and due diligence. We are not responsible for and expressly disclaim all liability for damages of any kind arising out of use, reference to, or reliance on any information contained in this broadcast. Any persons or characters mentioned are, for the most part, fictional, or as close to it as we can get. So you want to sit back, relax, and chill out. And oh, by the way, tell your friends to join us on Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. Well, hey, a lot of stuff going on. A big birthday shout out to Cameron Foster. He just turned 21 years of age. And he's going into his Second semester, I believe, a junior year at Wright State University in the School of Engineering. And right now he is working in his intern position as an engineer in aerospace. I think aerospace is something I have between the ears. At least my teachers used to say, you don't have anything in between your ears, just space. Well, anyhow, he's a mild genius. He's very smart. He's going to graduate from Wright State University. And he'll probably go an extra year beyond that to get his master's in aeronautical engineering. So, happy birthday, Cameron. I've known you since you were about 2. That makes me old. And then his sister, Tori, is turning 18. That makes me really feel old, and that's tomorrow. So happy birthday, Tori. Big shout out to other people that I know. We have all kinds of people around that listen to the show, and some are local here in Ohio, and some people are all over the world. We have listeners in South Africa, Myanmar, all over. But we don't have anybody in Iceland. I can't figure that one out. You know, they know English very well in Iceland. Oh, well, a lot of stuff that's been going on. You know, I always mention stuff on the Trim Radio Network, which is what we're on right now, trimradio.com. And I always talk about the different hosts and their different shows. Natural Marketer Podcast is on 1 p.m. Eastern, 12 p.m. Central. And that started up June 7th in 2023. We have Midweek Matters, and that's coming soon. We have My World, of course, with this show. And then we have our other guys like Rascala Stefan with Fishing in Florida show and Rascala's Red Pill Reality. I want to say variety show. No, it's the reality show. And I'll tell you what, he will always say, do you want the blue pill or the red pill? And I keep telling him, I want the green pill. And so he texts me back on Facebook and goes, LOL, LOL, LOL. I guess that stands for laughing out loud. Well, anyhow, check him out. Check out Money and Change every Sunday at 7 p.m. Check out Take Point 22 radio show with Michael Bejas. We have the Brighter Life show. We have the Bend. We have the Spiritual Freedom show with Richard Lawrence. We have Rascala's Red Pill Reality show. You want to check those out. If you want to join us and become your own broadcaster, hey, you can do that here. All you have to do is just send us an email and we'll get with you and tell you what you need to have for your own show. And Michael will work you into the schedule. And it's fun. I've been doing this for about 10 years. I have a lot of fun doing it because my topics change from time to time. Of course, with Money and Change, that's all financial news, maybe a little humor, but it's basically financial stuff and how to save money. And that's important. And we'll talk a little bit about it today. But also, I have My World, which is, we're kind of loosey-goosey with this show. And we get to talk about whatever's going on, and we just live, laugh, and we talk about whatever. And you can check us out, of course, every Wednesday at 8 p.m. But a lot of stuff, you know, people say, well, what are you going to talk about tonight? Come on, you got to tell us what you're going to talk about. I'm like, well, guys, I don't know until about 3 hours before the show because I can prep all I want and things change. And with Money and Change, it happens. So I prep things and I get things ready, and 2 hours before the show, I may get something new and something important or more important than the rest of the stuff, and the show changes. with my world, live, laugh, and whatever, it changes right before the show. And I think I've got a good lineup, and we talk about different people and comedians and things. And things change. And that's one thing about talk radio. I like doing it. I've been doing it for 10 years. And I have fun, and Michael and I have fun. And we kid around a little bit. Everybody on this station kids around. I mean, hey, that's the way it goes. If you're not having fun at what you're doing, then why do it, right? Well, anyhow, you know, we always do shout-outs, and a big shout-out to the Trim Radio Network for putting up with me and some of my jokes and some of my stories. And a big shout-out to the University of Findlay at www.findlay.edu. It's summertime up there. Yeah, things are slow, but they also have different types of summer school classes and training sessions and so forth up there. It's a good school located in Findlay, Ohio, right off of I-75 and Main Street in wonderful Findlay. It's about 35 to 40,000 people that live there. Plenty of things to do, plenty of places to go. The campus there is nice, and they have some relatively real nice buildings there on campus. Of course, when I was going there back in the Stone Ages, we had Old Main, which was the original building, which was like built in 1870, I think. I could be way wrong, but it was an interesting building, especially at night, because things creaked and made all kinds of strange noises. I don't know if it was students from the past that were ghosts or whatever, but it's a great campus, great professors, very decent rates to go to school there. And you can get a bachelor's degree, master's degree, or a doctoral degree. And if you're in physical therapy in the state of Ohio, you have to have a doctorate degree in physical therapy, or you can't practice. And they have pharmacy, and you can get your pharmacy degree there, which is also another doctorate that they have. A lot of different good professors and nice buildings. They're going to have a brand new artificial turf practice field next to the big building they have. It's an all-indoor sports arena. And I mean, it's for a small school of 4,500 people. I want to tell you something. It's a nice building, and they have the huge indoor track and practice area and everything else. I mean, it's just a great facility there. But check them out at www.findlay.edu. Big shout out to Rusty Ducks Custom Pens and Blanks, and Phil over at Rusty Ducks Custom Pens and Blanks is having a little fun this summer, but he's busy making pens. And the center part of pens, that's called the blank. And he does the design work and does all kinds of stuff. And he sold his pens at Disney World. He's gone to trade shows in Japan, send things there, other places. And every pen that comes out of his place is absolutely perfect. Or if you're in New Jersey, it's perfect, perfect, I tell you. They're beautiful. If you like the Second Amendment and the Second Amendment pens, he has some beauties. Trust me. And, you know, if you go to Money and Change, and sometimes here on My World, I'll have pictures of his pens. And I'll continue to start putting those up again. And they're beautiful. Michael has his. I have mine. And they're beautiful. We bought them. You know, you got to pay Phil for his work. And he's a hard worker. But beautiful pens, just beautiful pens. Check them out, Rusty Ducks Custom Pens and Blanks on Facebook. How about the Big Family Homestead with Brad and Krista? You check them out on YouTube. A lot of stuff is going on there. They're out in the middle of Wisconsin. Then there's Deep South Homestead with Danny and Wanda King. And boy, if it isn't dry and dusty down in Wiggins, Mississippi, which is about 100 miles north of the Gulf of Mexico, they get some pretty good rain, too, once in a while. And things really begin to bloom and blossom there. And Danny just doesn't talk about farming and growing things. He talks about a lot of other stuff, too. Southern Prepper 1 with Dave Kobler. Boy, Dave had a couple of videos out in the last couple of days, and I'll tell you what, he was talking about being prepped, not only financially, but with food and food storage and different types of meats that you can get. The one thing that he did, he talked about Keystone Meats. I don't get any kickback from it. And I don't think Dave does either, but the Keystone Meats are made up in Lima, Ohio. That's about 45 miles north of where I live. And their canned meats are really good. I mean, sometimes if we want to do a quick meal before lodge or something, you know, an event, and we want to have beef and noodles, boy, we open up a big can of their shredded beef. And we cook up the noodles and, you know, whatever else we want to add to it. Maybe take some mushrooms and fry them in a pan a little bit and chop them up and add them to the beef and noodles. Maybe some dried onions or maybe even fresh onions to it. I want to tell you something. That Keystone meat is good stuff. They have hamburger. They have roast beef, they have chicken, they have turkey and pork, and it's good. And usually the shelf life on that is about 5 years. Now, if the can's bulging or it's dented, which I've never found that to be true, they're good for up to 5 years. And some people say, oh, a little bit more. I think Eric up in the middle of Michigan, he has Goshen Prepping. He says it can be longer than that. Well, he should know. He's a doctor. But he's a retired doctor. But Dave Kobler's really been pushing different things. And I've talked to Dave before. I know Brad and Krista. And I've talked to Danny and Wanda King. But Dave Kobler, he says, you know, if you want to talk, here's my phone number. You can get a hold of me. Well, he's a busy person, and I don't like to take up a lot of his time, but I'm looking for a good GMRS radio that can go maybe a 40-watt or a 50-watt unit where I can talk maybe up to 50 miles. Now, what I do have, and I recommend you get a GMRS license, which is $35 for 10 years. This is an Ocean, better known as a W-O-U-X-U-N, handheld, and it can go up to about 5 miles or so, sometimes with repeaters a lot farther. But this has all the security type things in it. For example, if I'm out in California and I want to listen to Cal Fire, I can tune to that, or I can tune to something else. I mean, it's a hot little number. I like it. And around here, it's set to listen to trains because I like to listen to trains. I like to watch them sometimes. And all the guys up at Deschler, Ohio, that are on YouTube. Hi, guys. And we watch the trains and chit-chat and everything else about different things up there. It's live, too, when we do it. And that makes it interesting. And so this radio comes in handy if I want to listen to trains. I can listen to planes. I can listen to a lot of different things with this radio. Matter of fact, I have two of them. And I also have some B Tech, the letter B and then Tech. And why do I have them? Well, in case communications go down, I have extra radios that I can give out to my friends. Oh, yeah, I have friends. I mean, Facebook, I think I've got about 600. I don't have 600 radios, but I have, you know, for my local friends, I can help them out that way. And we can keep in touch. We'll put it that way. But Dave Kobler, Southern Prepper 1, fantastic person. Ed Carswell, Prepper Nurse 1, check him out. He's building his little compound, as we'll call it, out in West Virginia. I don't know where it is yet. I'm going to have to find out. Then there's Nate with his gloom and doom Canadian prepper. And he's okay. He's factual, but he likes gloom and doom. There's too much of the gloom and doom going on around here. Way too much. And then there's Eric with Goshen Prepping up in Michigan. Nice guy. I've corresponded with him before. And he's very, very, very knowledgeable. So, you know, these people, I don't get paid to push these guys. You can listen to them all you want. They're just good people. If they weren't good people, I wouldn't be telling you about their shows. If they were bad people, I wouldn't even mention it. It's like going to a restaurant. If you go to a good restaurant, you always mention it to people. And if you go to a bad restaurant, well, if you mention it, it's like, stay the heck out of there. But anyhow, those are the guys on YouTube that I really like to promote because they have some really good things. Another one is George at Iridium 242. I don't know where he got that. But he tests a lot of products on YouTube, and he is good. Prepper Princess, she can live so cheaply. She makes a piker look like a spendthrift. I mean, she's fantastic. Good common sense. She knows how to save a dollar, and she knows how to spend a dollar, too. And I think she's basically a self-made millionairess, if there is such a word. Well, anyhow, guys, that's all I've got for the guys I always watch. You know, and hey, if you get a chance, go to YouTube, type in Deshler Ohio Trains, DESHLER. And you can watch trains if you're a train aficionado, and the chat room up there is fantastic. And a lot of people get on there, whether or not it's Uncle Joe or Joe K or just Chessie. There's so many different people. Western Maryland Railway, we would just call them WMR. They have long names sometimes. And they're talking about different things that are going on. And you can see how commerce is moving because Deshler's a busy place with a big east-west line that crosses a north-south line. And I know that after it leaves Deshler, usually in about an hour and 30 minutes, it passes through my hometown. And if a train comes through my hometown, it's usually about an hour and a half to hour 45 minutes before it goes through Deshler and then up to Toledo and up into Detroit, whatever. It's kind of an interesting little hobby. And I only check them out really at night because they have a thing called taconite that comes out of the Great Lakes, comes into Toledo, and then it comes down through Deshler down to Middletown, where they have the big steel works. It used to be called AK Steel. I've been by that place. It's humongous. I mean, it is really a big, big, big place. And these trains that come down out of Toledo have these big, flat sheets of steel that are probably, I'm going to say, a foot thick and probably 30 feet long or 40 feet long, and probably 5 to 8 feet wide. And they stack them on these train cars, and they head south to Middletown. And there they roll them into coil steel, and the coil steel goes back up the railroad, and it goes up to Toledo, then to Detroit, or it goes to Cleveland. It's interesting because you never know where the trains are going. And after a while, you know, people will tell you Well, they don't. They never told me where to go. It's just they tell you where the trains are going and what they're doing, and there's a way that they do that. It's an interesting hobby. And if I want to kill maybe 2 hours a night, I can do that if I want. I mean, I'm retired. I can do whatever I want. Today was work in the yard day, so, you know, I had to do that. Oh, hey, a big shout out to the guys at Holly's over in Castown. Good food. It's like the local farmers and just the locals go there. And it's always busy at lunch, and the food's always good. Today they had taco salads. Oh, my God, they were fantastic. The three of us went there, and we carpooled and went and had a very, very, very good time. Oh, I'm making myself hungry again. Well, anyhow, guys, you know, check out the Trim Radio Network. Check us out, trimradio.com. There's a lot of good stuff out there. Hey, what's been going on? Lately, according to shiftgold.com, and I know they talk about gold, but they're saying it's a big sea change. Many countries are bringing their gold home for safekeeping. And some of the Western nations, they would park their gold in New York at the vaults there and for transactions and so forth. And now they want to take it back. Well, what happens if it's not there? And somebody's playing with the gold. People are saying it's a rigged market for gold and silver. It could be. I don't know. And if you have money to buy gold and you have money to buy silver, make sure it's physical. You can hold it in your hand. Never buy paper contracts. Never. If you can't hold it in your hand, then get rid of the paper and get the gold and silver in your hands, or platinum or even copper. But according to Shift Gold, they say in the wake of Western sanctions on Russia after invasion of Ukraine, many central banks are bringing their gold home for safekeeping. And that was an Invesco survey that said that. And many central banks and sovereign wealth funds hold their gold reserves in overseas vaults in London and other Western nations. Well, the U.S., for example. But there is a growing gold repatriation trend due to concerns about sanctions and security. And they're saying that 85% of the 85 sovereign wealth funds and 57 central banks surveyed indicated that they think price inflation will be higher in the next decade than the last. And the funds and the central banks are now trying to get grips with higher inflation, according to Invesco. Well, anytime you have inflation and the markets get a little skittish, to hedge calamity, people invest in gold and silver. If you're going to invest in gold, I would get the 10th ounce coins, because those are easier to trade back and forth. And right now, oh, let's see if I can find it. Under precious metals, what do I have today? Gold right now is, according to APMEX, American Precious Metal Exchange, gold is at $1,970.50. It went up 80 cents as we were talking. Silver is at $24.41 an ounce. However, there's a premium on that. And you could be paying an extra $10 for silver because it's a little bit more rare right now than gold. Platinum is at $971.60. So I always tell people that you need to do a couple of things. And what you do is you pay down your debt. you put your money aside, you buy some long-term food, be able to purify and store water. And when they say 1 gallon per person a day, no, it's like 3 or 4, maybe 5 gallons per person per day, for the simple fact that one is for drinking, and then you have to use the rest of it for washing dishes, clothes, whatever. Okay? Personal hygiene, you name it. Make sure you have your medications. Make sure you have the proper shelter that you need in case a tornado comes along and your house is blown to bits. Do you have a tent someplace? A lot of things to consider. But then if you have that extra funds around, you want to invest in gold and silver because it's kind of tough times out there right now, go ahead. Get the 1 ounce coins. Excuse me. I don't know why I'm yawning. I just think of yawning and I do that. Then you have the 1/10 of an ounce gold coins, which would be, I would say, probably about $270 for a 1/10 of an ounce of gold. And then your silver is probably going to cost you about $35 to $38 an ounce for a regular ounce of silver. Now, your silver is about 99.995% pure. You have to hold it together with something, you know. But anyhow, that's what's going on with that. And in case of a calamity, hey, you need to do that if you can afford it. If you can't afford gold, then get silver. Silver is poor man's gold. And actually, there are more uses for silver than gold. Well, the national debt right now, according to the usdebtclock.org, is $32,483,611,000,000 and flying. So the debt per citizen is about $96,944, and the debt per taxpayer is $252,535. I don't know about you, but I just don't have to have that type of chump change around. A lot of people don't. And if the government would learn how to watch their spending, we wouldn't have to put up with that, would we? So that's why people are going to gold and silver, because the markets are just not there. Wow. I was looking at Zero Hedge before the show, and they have a thing that says back to school spending is set to drop for the first time in nearly a decade, according to Deloitte. And it said, uneasiness about the economic situation is creating price sensitivity and causing parents to reassess how they'll approach shopping for the upcoming school year. Now, in Ohio, they have a kind of a tax amnesty for school supplies, and you're allowed up to a certain amount. And it happens every year. So that way you don't pay taxes on pens, pencils, paper, you know, whatever your kid needs for school. And that's a good thing. But I went into Walmart. I went into Wally World, and they've switched things around. And just as you walk in, they have 4 rows of school supplies. Just loaded. So you know school's getting close. Well, school's supposed to start maybe late August, at least around here. And are students really going to fare well this year, you know, with the COVID business, and they had to study at home, online learning? Things really didn't progress. Whether you were in college or whether or not you were in grade school or middle school or high school, junior high, whatever, people lost a lot of learning ability during that time. And with money getting tight, a lot of parents don't have money to get all the pens and pencils and everything. You know, the school system around here, they produce a list that you can go to their website and get it, and it says little Johnny or Susie needs the following items. And you might have 20 or 30 items there that they have to start school. And if you don't have the money to get that, I don't know. You know, when I was going to school, I think they just did away with stone tablets. And what we had a necessity for school happened to be you had to have a bag, and in that bag you had pencils, a pencil sharpener, a couple of pens, some erasers. You had to have paper and a notebook. And it was usually divided in different sections. And that was about it. Maybe you needed glue, like Elmer's glue or something. You know, it's so far back, I forget half the stuff that I would have had to have. But there it is. And kids need more stuff now. And it's out there. You just have to have all kinds of stuff for school. And I understand where they're coming from, but teachers, I know when I taught school for a while, I would go out and get different things, and I would have a drawer full of pens or pencils, and I would loan them out to the students. My nose is going crazy because there's stuff in the air, and I don't know what it is, and I don't know if they're chemtrail spraying again or not. But the stuff in the air, I've got fillers on in the house, and I've just changed the regular heating and cooling filters, and it's crazy. So if you see me having to pull out the handkerchief and wipe my nose, you know why. And if I sneeze, I sneeze. If I cough, I cough. There's nothing I can do about that. It's that time of the year. But going back to school, I mean, kids nowadays, you know, the school system says, well, we'll give you a Chromebook. You have to sign for them, and, you know, this is how you treat them and so forth. And they're responsible. And what happens if they trash it, accidentally drop it or whatever? That's a whole nother problem. And people learn on Google Chrome. I guess it's kind of nice, but when you get into college, you don't necessarily use Google Chrome anymore. You have to put your big girl and boy pants on and start using either Apple, or you have to use Microsoft. Oh, speaking of Microsoft, oh, brother, they did another update. And Michael built me this fantastic computer. I mean, it's really quick and nice and so forth. But Microsoft keeps doing these updates. And last week before the show, we had a problem with the camera. It didn't work. Well, they slipped another update in, unbeknownst to anybody, and I had to go back in and make changes. Oof, it's frustrating. But, you know, the kids need different things. And the biggest thing that the parents can do is pat them on the back and say, hey, you know, we'll help you get through school. And, you know, you can get through school with pens and pencils and sharpeners and plenty of paper. And you can use your school-provided Chromebook. And it comes preloaded with everything that you need. But, you know, the back-to-school spending is getting tight. Money's getting tight. And, for example, I went out to take a friend of mine to dinner. And it was her birthday. And I thought, okay, I will just take them to Texas Roadhouse. I thought, okay, we'll go at a decent time. And holy cow, we ate as cheap as we could, and the bill was still $40. And one night after band practice, we went to another place, Wings and Rings. And we had two cheeseburgers and something to drink. And by the time we were done, it was like $48. We crossed that place off, and Texas Roadhouse, we will go back, but it'll be several months before we go back. But a lot of stuff is getting expensive. And oh, remember the thing with Bud Light? They came out with their woke can of beer and so forth. Well, there was an article that came out by Jack Phillips at the Epoch Times, and it said, not just Bud Light, Anheuser-Busch's other beers are also suffering. And it says, as Bud Light and Budweiser continue to face a decline in sales amid weeks-long boycott, data shows that other Anheuser-Busch-owned beer brands are also taking a hit. That's what one person did to a brand. I think they dropped something like $60 billion. I think it was in a week in sales. Well, anyhow, this article says Budweiser trends have been slipping for a very long time, but it's the Michelob Ultra negative numbers and now Busch Light negative trends that are most alarming, said Bump Williams. And he was telling the New York Post that. And it says Mr. Williams was referring to the date on which Bud Light can featuring transgender activist Dylan Mulvaney's face on it was posted on TikTok. Well, whoever did the marketing for that, it was a successful brand up until that point. And then when they decided to switch and go woke, they suddenly found out that nobody likes going woke. And now it costs them tons of money. It's a consumer backlash. And that's what happens. And how they'll get those brands back, I don't know. I mean, in some cases, people were saying, well, Wally World was giving it away at one point. Whether that's true, I don't know. I don't drink beer. Water. Triple filtered water. It doesn't taste like it's got chlorine or anything in it. It's just very good tasting water. Because it's run through a Berkey system. The Berkey system is a little expensive to set up, but it works. And that's what counts. So I do have a way of preserving water. And I have a way of storing it too. I've got 2 55-gallon drums of water available just in case of an emergency. And I've got ways to pump it out and purify it again before I run it through the filters again. Hey, some guy got lucky in Kentucky. Hey, does that rhyme? Lucky in Kentucky? Woo! Hey, Tyler Durden reported, the most insane thing ever, man finds huge hoard of Civil War gold on a Kentucky farm. Gee, I always heard that saying, the South shall rise again. Well, maybe the coins are coming back to the surface. Well, anyhow, the story says a Kentucky man has unearthed an astounding cache of Civil War era gold coins from a cornfield on his farm. Among hundreds are a type of coin that has sold at auction for more than $100,000, and there are about 18 of them. Man, that's hitting the lottery. It says, while the extraordinarily lucky man's identity and the location of his property are still under wraps, his find has been certified by the Numismatic Guarantee Company, the NGC, which describes itself as the world's largest and most trusted third-party grading service for coins, tokens, and metals. It's being known as the Kentucky Hoard. How much other gold is out there? You know, we had money that was buried south of where I live, and it was buried around grain silos. It seems like during the Depression, the guy didn't trust banks, and so he put his money in milk cans and buried them. Well, back when I was a kid, we heard about it, and Dad drove us down by there. And there were 100 people out around this mill area, and they were digging these cans up. And the sheriff's department was down there making sure that they weren't stealing moldy money and so forth. I mean, it was something to see. Well, Altman Mills is where it was at, which is now part of Midland Archer Daniels. And a matter of fact, the founder of Midland Archer Daniels is buried in the local cemetery. And it's interesting to see what people have stored underground. I mean, if we could find everything, that would be something else. But that farmer in Kentucky with 18 coins, valued at about $100,000 a piece. Wow. What a trip. I hope he does well. Hey, do you guys like pizza? I mean, everybody's got to like Italian food. I don't know if it's boring for Italians or not, but I'll tell you what, I like pizza, not all the time. I can't eat it all the time. But, you know, once a week, pizza, hey, it's good stuff. And you have that with a good salad and, you know, something decent to drink, and it's really good. And you have, in the town where I live, we've got probably six pizza chains in a town of 22,000 people. And each one is different. And sometimes I like to go to Domino's. Sometimes I like to go to Pizza Hut because it got this real super thin crust. Then there's Papa John's, and there's another local one, Diana's Pizza, which, it's okay. And they sell pizza supplies to restaurants all over. They really do. Their trucks go up and down the interstate all over the place. And it's only about a mile from where I live. They do a heck of a business. Well, there was this chef. And according to Yahoo, the article said, I'm a chef. I order pizza from three chains, and there's only one I wouldn't get again. And Lizzie Briskin, B-R-I-S-K-I-N, wrote the story, and they have Oath, O-A-T-H, Pizza, Little Caesars, and Domino's. Now, everybody likes something different. And it's just taste. You know, one time I was at a national restaurant show up in Chicago, and we decided, okay, the group of us said, well, where are we going to go eat? And they said, well, why don't we just go to Uno's Chicago Deep Dish Pizza? And so we found our way there. And the food there was deep dish pizza. I mean, that's all they basically had. And it was a novelty for the time. But Chicago has a lot of different pizzas up there. And I guess you can really get some fantastic stuff in Chicago. Well, anyhow, this guy wrote the article about Oath Pizza, Little Caesars, and Domino's. And he said, or she said, I'm a chef who decided to compare cheese pizzas from Oath, Domino's, and Little Caesar. The Little Caesar slices packed on the cheese, but I wonder if it was too much. Oath Pizza's cheese pie had a great flavor, tasted fresh, and didn't even get soggy in the box. And she said, where I live in New York City, another pizza capital, you can easily satisfy a pizza craving from anything from elevated slices with Italian toppings to the simplest and cheapest delivery option. As a chef who loves a thin crust slice, I decided to put three chain pizzerias near her to the test. And it was Domino's, Little Caesars, and Oath's Pizza. And to do a taste test, ordering the smallest size from each one. And she said, Oath Pizza was small and flavorful for cheese pizza. And it was pretty good. It was on Nantucket Island, and they had 20 other locations. But it's known for its crust, which is flash fried and seared in avocado oil. Then you have the very cheesy pizza from Little Caesars, and that was too much cheese for the chef. And she said Little Caesars has over 4,100 locations in the U.S., and the chain is known for being super affordable. Normally, you can get a pepperoni pizza for, I don't know, $5 anymore for a small one. Well, here, the cheese pizza was like $8.50. Then there was Domino's. And she said it was a good middle ground pizza with a thick, fluffy crust. And they have 20,000 locations in about 90 countries. But out of everything, the winner was Oath's Pizza. And the runner-up was Domino's. And Little Caesars was, of course, that was the third one. It was last. But she liked the fried crust on it. But everybody's got a different taste for pizzas. And in Columbus, Ohio, when I lived there, I mean, we had different types of pizzas there. You had East of Chicago pizza. It's okay. And I have one within a mile from where I live. We've got Domino's Pizza within 3/4 of a mile. We've got Pizza Hut. And we have Cassano's Pizza. Cassano's kind of an acquired taste. We have Three Joe's Pizza, which is local, and it's very good. But everybody's got a different flavor of pizza. And you have to find the one that you like. Now, personally, I like the crust at Pizza Hut, the thin, crispy cracker crust. I love that. I mean, why go there and eat a whole bunch of dough? But I like to get the meat lover's pizza, you know? Oh, man, that's good. Now, a friend of mine likes cheese and mushrooms. Personally, it's not appetizing. And one place that we like to go on Friday nights, we meet up with some friends and we go to a little town called Castown. And we go to Holly's. And Holly's Cafe, I always call it Holly's Cafe, babysitting and insult parlor, babysitting agency and insult parlor, because we have so much fun there. And if they know you, they know how to clown around and really have a good time with you. It's almost like a country style Dick's Last Resort, if they want to make it that way. And they are busy. But we get pizza there, and it is great pizza. But we have to drive 10 to 15 miles to get there. But the pizza's always good, no matter how you like it, whether it's a veggie pizza or it's a meat pizza or just a plain pepperoni pizza, or you can split it. They'll do half and half, and it's good stuff. But everybody's got a different type of pizza that they like. What's your favorite? you know, I said I like meat lover pizza, and I also like just plain pepperoni sometimes, and that's always good. I'm getting hungry just thinking about it. Oh, I had a snack before the show because I've been so busy, and I keep thinking about pizza, and I'm, oh, boy. I can't believe I get hungry before, you know, the show's over with just talking about food. But what's your favorite pizza? Let us know. Let us know what your favorite pizza is. What do you like on it? Well, hey, have you ever heard Bob Hope? Bob Hope was a comedian. He was originally Hurt English. And he had all of his jokes stored away in a vault in Toluca, T-O-L-U-C-A, Lake, California. And that's where his home was. And I think he died. He was 99 years old or 100. He was a very famous entertainer, a singer, dancer, writer, and all kinds of stuff. And he was quite a character. Well, he had different jokes. And I guess when Harry Truman, even up to Bill Clinton, would win their elections, he would send him a telegram. And he did that to Truman on the morning after he had an upset victory in 1948 presidential election. And it just said, unpack. And then again, when he was entertaining troops during Christmas in Vietnam, he sent another message to a president, said, the country is behind you 50%. Think about that one. Well, he was pretty witty. And some of the stuff that he did, it was fantastic. And he was a good comedian. He could do satire real well. And he was talking about the politics in California. You all know the politics in California. Very liberal. And he said, California's back to a two-party system. The Democrats and the Screen Actors Guild. Well, he was right about that. And his two favorite topics were politics and Hollywood. And Ronald Reagan's run for governor in California in 1966 was a fortuitous marriage of the two. And the Gipper became one of his perennial targets. And he got away with it. But, you know, we have Henny Youngman in the old days, very funny. Bob Hope was very funny during his day. Rodney Dangerfield. He can have you laughing.
Tim Conway.
He can be telling a story, and it's totally opposite with the zinger.
Tim Conway, Don Knotts. You go back to a lot of them, Stu.
Oh, yeah, there are tons of comedians out there. And, you know, Tim Conway was from Chagrin Falls, Ohio.
He was something else.
Yeah, he was. And he was kind of dry for a comedian, but he was funny. And that's what made it good. But, guys, when you go out there, and I tell everybody, pay down your debt, put some money aside, buy some long-term food, and get ready for a wild time, because I'm hearing stuff today is things could happen in the end of July or into August or into September, and if you're not prepared, you could have problems. And, you know, I went out to Harbor Freight today or yesterday. I needed some AAA batteries. And so I stopped and picked them up. I had to look all over the store to find them, but they had AA and AAA batteries that I can use. But it powers lights and everything. And this little gadget that I got with my new light system, and I just turned it off. This little puck took AAA batteries. I looked high and low for batteries. Did I have them? And I talk about being prepared. No, I couldn't find them. So I had to go to Harbor Freight and get some. So I'm preparing. I'm getting canned meat and different types of fruits and vegetables and all kinds of stuff. Because if something happens, and people keep saying it's going to happen. I don't know if it is, but I want to be prepared just in case. So, you know, we could have bad weather and we could have a gasoline shortage or natural gas shortage or electrical grid problems. We don't know. But we have to be prepared. And that's just one thing I talk about on Money and Change on Sundays. And I also mention it a little bit here, but I like to have a little humor with it. And if you can't laugh about life, I hate to be you. Because you have to laugh at everything you possibly can. See the lighter side of life. And if you can do that every day, or at least a few times a week, life will be a lot better for you. And with that, Michael, that's all I've got for this week. And we'll talk to everybody next week on next Wednesday. And maybe people will be able to say, hey, Stu, I like this type of pizza. We can have a chat about pizza. So with that, have a good one, guys.
All right, folks. Thanks for tuning into My World, Live, Laugh, or Whatever with Stu Scheer. And again, I am Michael Bayhouse. Thank you for tuning into the Trim Radio Network. God bless you. Have a good week. Be good to one another. And we are out of here. And it's that simple.
See ya. Thank you.